The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 2 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Think like a farmer. You will harvest what you plant. Remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Why is it so many Christians walk in ignorance, fear, and unbelief in the area of giving? Many live with a lack mentality rather than an abundance mentality. In fear, they refuse to tithe or give to others, thinking they will not have enough. Their view of God is that He is a God of just enough, not a God of more than enough. If you fall into this category, I encourage you to change your beliefs about God today. He is Elohim, El Shaddai, a mighty God and a God of abundance. To experience abundance, you must understand life and think like a farmer. The Apostle Luke tells us that the seed is the Word of God. God established the kingdom law of seed time and harvest in the book of Genesis and promised that this law would never cease. In simple terms, the law says that you must plant seeds, God's Word, nurture them, give them time to grow, and then, in time, you will always harvest whatever you have planted. Love seeds produce unconditional love and compassion. Forgiveness seeds produce willing forgiveness. Healing seeds produce healing, just as prosperity seeds produce prosperity. In the verse we just heard, Paul reminds us of the law of seed time and harvest and how it applies to our giving. When we give a little, we can expect a little, and when we give much, we will have much. Every farmer and gardener understands this principle. A single seed planted in good soil, a soft, clean, and pure heart, will produce in abundance. The seeds you plant will determine your harvest. If you have a need, trust God and His laws and plant seeds in someone else's life. If you want or need it, you must first plant it or give it to God or others. If you have big needs, then give big and activate the kingdom law of seed time and harvest. I encourage you to think like a farmer and trust El Shaddai, our God of abundance. Start planting His Word today and watch your harvest grow. Lord, thank You for Your Word seed. Holy Spirit, help me to trust You completely. Teach me to be a good farmer and to give to others in abundance, trusting You for provision and an abundant harvest. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Who are you listening to? You will have what you think about. And He said to them, "Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear." Mark chapter 4, verse 24. At the beginning of this chapter, Jesus tells the disciples the parable of the sower of seeds to illustrate the kingdom principle of seed time and harvest. At the end of His teaching, the disciples ask questions about the meaning of the parable. Jesus responds by saying, "The sower sows the word." He goes on to explain the seeds of the word of God, and when planted in an open, receptive, and believing heart, they will produce much fruit, 30, 60, even 100 times what was planted. Are you hearing and planting God's word in your life daily? As Christians, we must examine who and what we are listening to every day. Why is this important? Because the amount of word we hear, read, and plant in our hearts determines our level of faith. Little word in your life leads to little faith. In contrast, if you have abundant word, then you will have abundant faith. Why does this matter? Because your faith will produce fruit or results in your life. The fruits you can expect include love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, humility, and self-control. No faith, then no fruit. Or much faith, then much fruit. It seems the older I get, the more my taste buds have come to prefer the sweetness of peace and joy. What kingdom fruit are you eating every day? Child of God, do you like what is on your table? If not, I encourage you to listen and plant more word seeds in your heart. Meditate on this word. Pray for the fruit that you desire and watch as the words sprout and grow. Soon you too will feast on the sweetness of peace and joy. Lord, thank you for your word and for the kingdom law of seed time and harvest. Holy Spirit, help me develop the discipline to plant God's word in my heart daily that I may have a strong faith that produces rich, abundant, and sweet fruit. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Honor your vows to the Lord. Faithfulness, honor, and integrity. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. Numbers 30, verse 2. I remember the conversation vividly. I had confided to a fellow brother in Christ my struggle with the idea of honoring a $250,000 building campaign pledge that I made to the church I attended before Karen and I were married. Since we joined another church, I had mixed feelings about paying the pledge. My friend advised me that it was not necessary, as people change churches and change their mind all the time. It was, in essence, no big deal. As I drove home, I reflected on his comments. When I came in, I told Karen what my friend had said, and her reaction was, like mine, shock and disbelief. We sat down together and pulled various verses on this subject. The verse you just heard stared me in the face. Suddenly, the confusion vanished. It was clear what we had to do. Honor the pledge to God. As I sorted out my feelings about this conversation with my friend, I realized I was hurt and angry, and that he had given me advice that was contrary to God's word. Several weeks later, over breakfast with my friend and his wife in a discussion about giving, I listened to comments that directly contradicted God's word. This time, I was able to control my emotions, no more anger or resentment. Now, I felt an even stronger desire to live according to God's word. More importantly, the Holy Spirit showed me we are all on a journey. I repented and prayed for grace for my friend and his wife. I remembered that on this journey of faith, sometimes we all succeed and sometimes we fail. Child of God, it is our steadfast determination to continue to be obedient and faithful, to run the race of faith with expectant hope, courage, honor, and integrity that counts. Lord, thank you for giving me the desire to live according to your word in everything I do. Holy Spirit, teach me to be faithful in all things. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Mustard seed faith. Your faith may start small, but it will grow. A passage from Scripture, Matthew 13, verses 31 and 32. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, and this is smaller than all other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." Here, Jesus explains the kingdom principle, or law of seed time and harvest, in the parable of the sower who throws seeds on the ground. Jesus makes the point that while you may start small, with faith you can make a big difference and change the world. On January 25th, 2011, in a State of the Union address, President Obama gave several examples that illustrate this point. He told the story of Brandon Fisher, a small business owner in Pennsylvania who saw the news report that 33 people were trapped in a mine in Chile and that no one knew how to save them. Brandon thought his company could help. After drilling a 2,000-foot hole into the ground, their Plan B succeeded. In an interview, one of his employees said, "We proved that Center Rock is a little company, but we do big things." The president went on to share another story. Take a school like Bruce Randolph in Denver. 3 years ago, it was rated one of the worst schools in Colorado, located on turf between two rival gangs. But last May, 97% of the seniors received their diploma. Most will be the first in their family to go to college. And after the first year of the school's transformation, the principal who made it possible wiped away tears when a student said, "Thank you, Mrs. Waters, for showing us that we are smart and we can make it." Child of God, how big is your faith? Are you willing to believe in God and His Word? I encourage you to ask God to give you faith like a mustard seed. Simply believe, lean on His grace, reach out for the sky, and change the world. Lord, thank you for giving me mustard seed faith that starts off small but grows and will change the world. Holy Spirit, help me to grow strong in His strength. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Power that radiates and attracts. The anointing of Jesus moves in. Immediately, Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" Mark chapter 5, verse 30. Science has established that both humans and animals radiate electrical impulses or currents. All living things possess a unique power or electrical signature. Marine biologists have determined that electroreception is the biological ability to perceive electrical impulses. They have discovered that it is how sharks locate their prey in the vast oceans. The detection of electrical impulses is used for electrolocation, the detection of objects, and for electrocommunication, which is common in whales and dolphins. This verse shows that Jesus was highly sensitive to the level of anointing, power, or energy he carried. So much so that he became instantly aware that his power had gone forth as a response to a simple touch of his robe. When we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, the Word tells us that we were born again and became new creatures in Christ. God's Word tells us that the Holy Spirit established a permanent residence within us. The anointing of Christ was poured into us just as our very body became His tabernacle. Our anointing, our power, or energy changed. Jesus became our power source, our strength, and our might. Our innate electrical impulse, energy, or biological and spiritual signature changed. We are now a copy of Jesus' power and might. Child of God, is your anointing radiating and drawing others to you? If not, I suggest you start spending more time with the original power source, El Shaddai. I encourage you to ask Jehovah Jireh to fill you with His power and might so that you too can radiate His presence. Be a source of light and, like Jesus, attract others for His glory and honor. Lord, thank you for your anointing, power, and might. Holy Spirit, fill me with your divine presence that I may radiate and draw others near for God's glory and honor. Give me a fresh supply of grace today so I can do all that God has called me to do. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Rites of Passage. The Transformation Begins. From Scripture, Matthew 26, verses 7 through 12, we learn a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at the table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and said, "Why this waste? For this perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor." But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why do you bother the woman? For she has done a good deed for me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial." Now, rites of passage help us to move from one stage of life to another. They are designed to prepare us for what comes next. In our personal lives, these include getting a driver's license, dating in your first love, playing on your first sports team, your first apartment, going off to college, and all of these are often life-changing events. In our business lives, rites of passage include your first day on the job, a big promotion, a salary increase or first annual bonus, a company-sponsored transfer or relocation, and retirement. All of these events carry special meaning for us, our family and friends. In the scripture that we've just heard, the alabaster box and the perfume were essential elements in a critical rite of passage in the life of Jesus. The woman poured the perfume over Jesus to prepare him for his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. Child of God, are you ready for the next rite of passage in your journey with Christ? Be assured it will probably be painful and come with a price. Ask God to prepare you for your next assignment as mighty man or awesome woman of God, leader or follower, husband or wife, father or mother, son or daughter, friend or neighbor. Trust Jesus to pour his grace over you and anoint you and equip you with all you need to carry out his perfect will in your life. Father, thank you for rites of passage and for your anointing. Holy Spirit, anoint me with God's grace, strength, and might, that I am able to do what he has called me to do. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Citizens of heaven, all of heaven welcomes you. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. That was Philippians 3, verse 20. Now here, Paul says that Christians have citizenship in heaven. Webster's defines citizen as a native or naturalized member of a state or nation, an inhabitant of a city or town who owes allegiance to its government and is entitled to its protection and privileges. A resident is a person who resides or dwells in a place. Citizens have rights that aliens, residents, and visitors do not. While aliens or residents have some rights and privileges, they do not have the same rights and privileges of citizenship. In recent years, Houston has become home to one of the largest illegal immigrant or alien populations in the U.S. I see local authorities wrestle with the issue of citizenship daily. As Christians, we are called to be both aliens and citizens. As children of light, we are called to live as aliens among children of darkness and to separate ourselves from the world's ways. While we reside or live in the world, we retain our citizenship in heaven. As a citizen of heaven, we must obey God's word, his laws, his ways, and his truth, knowing that when we do, we are entitled to his protection and provision. As citizens, we are entitled to the blessings and favor of God. We are protected and immune to worldly economics. We can expect supernatural breakthrough and abundance. We're entitled to special treatment and favor from El Shaddai, knowing the angel of death and destruction will pass over our house because we are covered by the blood of Jesus. We operate under supernatural laws of heaven when we walk the streets with the love of God in our hearts. At night, we can sleep in perfect peace. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God to speak to your heart today about your status. Are you an alien or a citizen of heaven? If you are an alien, invite Jesus into your life, confess him as Lord and Savior, and become a citizen of heaven. The saints and angels will sing praises to God and welcome you. Lord, thank you for the gift of eternal salvation. I confess Jesus as my Lord and Savior and claim all rights and privileges as a citizen of heaven. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Wearing blinders. Take off the blinders and see the light. For the God of this world has blinded the unbelievers' minds, that they should not discern the truth, preventing them from seeing the illuminating light of the gospel of the glory of Christ the Messiah, who is the image and likeness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. I remember my first long international flight. I recall when an attendant handed me the slippers for my feet and an eye mask to help me sleep. Reading this verse, I'm reminded of that experience. Paul warns us that Satan has appointed his attendants, children of darkness, to pass out free blinders on every street corner to all who will take them. Satan's blinders will cover your spiritual eyes and create darkness. In darkness, you will be unable to see the truth of God's word or the light of Christ. They will blind you to the radiant and life-changing love, mercy, and grace of Christ all around you. Satan's blinders are designed to ensure that you walk around in a sleep-like state and allow fear, selfishness, rebellion, disobedience, greed, anger, and unforgiveness to serve as the signposts of your dark world. Even worse, once you put on Satan's blinders, it is difficult to remove them. To do so, you must spend time studying and meditating on God's word and his ways. You must renew your mind daily to God's way of thinking and stand on the truth of his word. As children of God and children of light, we must refuse to accept any thought, action, or feeling the world offers us, and recognize their true purpose to blind us to God and lead us on a path of darkness. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see Christ, the image and likeness of God, smiling back at you? As you look around, do you see light or darkness? I encourage you to ask God to reveal any area of your life where you have been wearing Satan's blinders. Decide today to take them off so you can see clearly and walk as a child of light. Lord, thank you for your word, which is truth, light, life, and the way. Holy Spirit, teach me to protect my eyes, mind, and heart from the darkness of Satan and refuse any offer of Satan's blinders. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Wise and innocent. Know good and run from evil. A passage from Scripture, Romans chapter 16, verse 19. Everyone has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Earlier in chapter 16, Paul names several brothers and sisters in Christ and recognizes their efforts in support of him and the church. Then he issues a warning. Keep your eye on those who cause dissensions and hindrances, contrary to the teaching which you learned, and turn away from them. He goes on to commend the church in Rome and says, the reports of their loyalty and obedience are known to all. He expresses his desire for them to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. Like Paul, I spend time teaching and encouraging my clients. I share Paul's desire that they learn to be wise about good and innocent about evil. We all know experience is a great teacher, and that most people learn from their mistakes. Like any loving parent, teacher, or leader, I desire that my clients learn from my words and are able to avoid all of the hardship, pain, and suffering of evil. While I'm growing in wisdom daily, I cannot claim innocence from evil. Like Paul, I had a life-changing Damascus Road experience. I paid a deep price for my new life and my relationship with Christ. Looking back at the rebellious, prideful, stubborn, and selfish fool I was, I can see clearly that my life was on the road to destruction and death. I praise God that the blood of Jesus has reconciled and redeemed me, and that I am clothed in his robe of grace. Like each of you, my journey with Christ continues daily, and I am not yet all that he is calling me to be. I praise God that I am not the man I used to be. I am no longer ignorant of God's word. I am thankful that each day I grow in wisdom of what is good, his word, grace, truth, light, and peace. Today I walk in righteousness and wisdom by faith, and innocent of evil. Lord, thank you for your word, love, mercy, wisdom, and grace. I believe that I have received, through the blood of Jesus, reconciliation, redemption, healing, and deliverance from my sins. Holy Spirit, shine the light of God's truth upon my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. When your wins become your losses, less of me and more of Jesus. A passage from Scripture, Philippians 3, verse 7. But whatever former things that might have been gains to me, I have come to consider as one combined loss for Christ's sake. The world exalts winning and losing. Sadly, winning and losing produces winners and losers. Competition, the desire to win, and the fear or shame of losing is evident in many areas of our modern life. We record our wins and losses. Yes, we celebrate, honor, and applaud winners and ridicule losers. Leadership books, business schools, coaches, and bosses encourage us to think like winners. They tell us to hang out with winners and run from losers. Yet, Paul tells us that in the kingdom or spiritual realm, personal gain is a loss for Christ. In the kingdom, losing for Christ's sake should be our goal. In other words, in the kingdom, less is more, less of me and more of Christ. Over a 5-year period, I experienced this principle in my life on a daily basis. As God used Karen and the Holy Spirit to prune me, I was forced to give up many of my former trophies, wins, successes, attitudes, and ways of thinking. I came to see them clearly as selfishness, rebellion, prideful exaltation, and separation from God. I confess it has taken intense and purposeful effort, study and meditation in the Word, in prayer and repentance, to walk this out. Every time I feel myself walking in pride and arrogance, I know that I'm striving to win at Christ's expense. Every time I make my own plans and agenda, the Holy Spirit reminds me that Christ is no longer first in my life. Every time I step out of love with my wife, friends, or clients, I have diminished the light of Christ and His presence in my life. Every time I use the word I multiple times in a sentence or conversation, I have failed to honor, glorify, and submit to God. I praise God that I'm growing more comfortable every day, thinking and acting like a loser. The more I lose myself for Christ's sake, the greater He is within me. Lord, thank You for the life-changing power of Your Word. Holy Spirit, I invite You to rule every part of my life. Be on the increase that I may be on the decrease. Help me to lose myself for Your sake. Through the blood of Jesus and in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Short and sweet. Be slow to speak, but mean what you say. Here's a passage from Scripture. Simply let your yes be yes and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. That was Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. Now, the message here is very clear. Our speech needs to be simple, decisive, to the point, and most of all, truthful. Have you ever noticed that some people say yes when they really mean no, I can't, or no, I don't want to, or no, not right now? How can you be sure what they really mean? It's simple. Sit back and watch what they do next. The world has an expression for this. We say, actions speak louder than words. Every parent, teacher, or leader knows by experience there are some people who say no, but they really mean, yes, I did it, but I'm afraid to tell you, or yes, I will, but I am embarrassed to do it with you standing here, or yes, I intended from the beginning, I just didn't want to hurt your feelings. Remember, Satan is the father of lies and deceit. Webster defines deceit as the act or practice of deceiving, concealment or distortion of the truth for the purpose of misleading, duplicity, fraud, cheating, falseness, trickery, guile, hypocrisy. The world is full of habitual liars and cheats, scam artists and schemers who are busy trying to deceive and take advantage of others. Lies and deception are intended to manipulate, control, and conceal darkness. They are driven by selfishness and fear. In contrast, the truth is intended to liberate, set free, reveal the light. The truth is built on love and compassion, integrity and faithfulness. Truth comes from God and His Word. Lies come from Satan, who is incapable of telling the truth. Child of God, ask God to speak to you about your speech and the motives of your heart. Remember, the truth is born from righteousness, and lies are born from sin. Let your motives be clean and pure. Remember, let your speech be short and sweet. Lord, thank you for the truth of your word. Holy Spirit, wash my heart and clean and fill me with God's love, grace, and truth. Put a guard on my mouth so that speech can be short, sweet, and pleasing in your sight. Through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.